there's actually been legitimate coverage of the CFL offseason, and a big part of that coverage is Justin Dunk from almost every website you can imagine. Sportsnet.
The resume is long.
Does some work for the Canadian Football League. He's on Three Down Nation. He played the sport at a time. Justin, anything else? Do you work for like the New York Times as well? Anything else that I've missed so far?
I wouldn't mind adding those bylines, fellas, but thanks for the nice introduction.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, guys. Good to be on and be talking some CFL. And you're right, it's great to see the increased coverage in the league and so much excitement surrounding CFL free agency.
Well, we just talked about it before we brought you on, kind of going back and forth, and we were just kind of kicking it around about, you know, this is certainly, at least over the last half decade, maybe even more, but one of the craziest CFL offseasons I've witnessed. What about yourself? I mean, just so many big names that are, yes, older veterans, but still, you know, very important in this league, changing teams, and it's been wild here the last week or so.
It really has been. I feel like I'm young in the game, sort of like you guys, fellas. But since I've been covering the league, there is no free agency period or off season at that even compares to anything we've seen. And it just might be the norm going forward with all these 1-year deals. We might see teams sort of rebuilding on the fly, if you will, and players moving all across the country every year.
We'll start with the local team here, the Calgary Stampeders. They themselves have been pretty quiet, but one of the bigger things involves a player leaving here, going to Toronto, and that is Keon Raymond going to the Argos. First of all, were you surprised that a mainstay with the Stamps is on his way out, and how do you think that affects Toronto's team now?
Well, there's 2 points here. I was surprised that he did make the move to Toronto when it happened, because it seemed like the longer that free agency went on, the likelihood of Keon re-signing back in Calgary would go up because his price was going down. Now, the most interesting part about it to me is that if Keon would have asked for what he eventually got in Toronto originally with Calgary when they were in negotiations before free agency, it's likely, and John Huffnagel said this, it would have been likely that he would have re-signed there. So that part is interesting to me, just the difference in price at the time when Calgary was trying to negotiate the terms to re-sign him, and then when he actually hit the open market. Now, he's a big piece here for this Toronto defense. He follows Rich Stubler to the Big Smoke, and he's a guy that's a proven playmaker, plays that strong side linebacker position, which is so tough to do in the CFL. You got to be able to cover. You have to be able to come up and run support. And you got to be a good blitzer at times as well. And Keon is all of those things. So I think it's a big get for the Argos.
Now, with the Stamps, they've been pretty quiet so far in free agency. Just a couple moves. Bakari Grant and Taylor Reed coming over from the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Are you surprised that it's been a fairly slow start to free agency for Calgary?
Not at all. I mean, John Huffnagel said going into it that they weren't going to be active on day one. They would look for those deals after that, and they've done that with Bakari Grant and Taylor Reed. Taylor Reed is a strong defender against the run. He'll compete for that middle linebacker job, obviously a spot vacated by Juwan Simpson. And Bakari Grant, you know, he's been pretty consistently productive. And I feel like if he gets in that system, and if, especially if Dave Dickinson and Bo Levi Mitchell like him, which clearly they do enough to at least bring him in, he could be pretty productive.
Now, with the Stampeders, you mentioned that they're maybe looking for some of the bargains along the way. Are there a couple names out there right now that you see, yeah, that guy would look good in red and white?
Ooh, well, you know, there's got to be a couple. It depends where they want to go. They've talked about getting younger on defense, so maybe you could see some of those younger guys that are still sort of in the middle of their careers that maybe haven't taken a jump up, a huge jump up that they can sign. There's no names that I could really give out at the moment. But I think what you might see is the Stamps sort of focus on the draft here for the next little bit, really get a sense of who they can maybe get there or if they really like anyone in the draft. And if there's not a ton of guys that they like in this class, then maybe they go out and sign some of the guys that are still left in free agency.
Justin Dunk from Sportsnet and CFL.ca and Three Down Nation joining us here on Sportsnet Saturday. I'm Peter Klein. He's Will Nolte.
Justin, a big CFL or a big Canadian running back moved teams this offseason. That is Andrew Harris. He goes from BC to Winnipeg. He goes back home in his home province of Manitoba on a 3-year contract. Tell me about this signing and how does he fit in with the Bombers, who haven't had a 1,000-yard rusher since 2012?
Yeah, and it's been a while since the Bombers had a consistent running back that they could rely on that could not only run the ball, but catch it well out of the backfield and pass block. Those are the two biggest upgrades I think that the Bombers get with Andrew Harris coming back to Winnipeg, because they had sort of a revolving door there. You know, last year they had Siobhan Walker and they had Paris Cotton and he got hurt, and then they brought in Cam Marshall, and they just had a bunch of backs and couldn't really get any consistent production. So with Harris coming over, you know he's going to be consistent, catching the football, running it. We've seen he's one of the best backs in the league. It doesn't matter if he's Canadian or American. And it really helps the Bombers' Canadian talent, because that was one of the areas last year where they really lacked. They go out and get arguably one of the most impactful Canadian starters in the league. And it's kind of sexy, too, that he's a running back.
Well, and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers made possibly the biggest splash on day one. Tell me about the other three guys that Winnipeg has brought in.
Yeah, it's interesting that they went out and sort of targeted these guys, and they moved quickly. Once they found out they weren't going to be in the sweepstakes for Ted Laurent, they went out and get Keith Schulligan, the big Canadian defensive tackle, who's proven in this league that he can be a solid starter. They bring in another American defensive tackle to go beside him in Euclid Cummings, who's one of the most disruptive defensive linemen in the league. They take their D-line from, you know, pretty mediocre to really good with those two additions. Mm-hmm. And I think that really helps their overall defense get better.
You just mentioned him, Ted Laurent. He was the one name that everybody was watching. A team that you follow very, very closely is the Hamilton Tiger Cats. They do retain his services, and I know Montreal was in there in the conversation as well, but it's a big deal for Laurent, a very talented player, and it's a big, big signing for the Tiger Cats.
Man, it's huge. They had been pushing all offseason to get Ted Laurent to re-sign and not go to free agency, because they really wanted to keep him. Now, Laurent goes to free agency, and I think it was smart. You have to, at that point, when you're at that height of your career, he's 28, he's coming off some really great seasons, to at least test your value, see what it is, and you can always go back to Hamilton if that's where you feel like it is most comfortable for you. And that's what Teddy does. You know, Saskatchewan mm-hmm. was in there too, trying to bid up the price, and Hamilton, at the end of the day, gave him two things. He loves that scheme and Coach Orlando Steinhauer's defense. And it's just a comfort of being in a place where he's been productive. So those are the two big reasons why he went back to Hamilton.
A couple more for you from me. And the first one is sticking with the Ticats, and a longtime member of the Argonauts has crossed the Ontario rivalry, if you will. He joins the Ticats. Of course, I'm talking about Chad Owens. Tell me about that signing and how you think he might fit in with the Ticats. A pretty good 1-2 punch in special teams with Brandon Banks.
Ooh, it really is, man. It's weird seeing Chad Owens in a Ticats jersey for all the people that follow the Ontario rivalry, right? Guys, it just doesn't look right.
Mm-hmm.
But Owens goes there, and he is a guy that's versatile on offense, but his issue lately has been staying on the field. So the Ticats look at this signing as getting a value on a very talented player. And even if he doesn't play all 18 games, they feel like the money they got him for was something they couldn't pass up. He'll come in and likely fill a role similar to what Terrell Sinkfield did when he was running those fly sweeps and at times stretching the defense vertically. Obviously, Sinkfield signed in the NFL with the Minnesota Vikings, so there's a bit of an opening there. And they can use him, as you guys said, to spell Brandon Banks if they feel they need that in the return game. And maybe that gives Banks a few more reps on offense, because they have a guy like Chad Owens, and he had a return touchdown last year, guys. He can still get it done in that department. So it gives him some options on offense and in the return game.
The last one from me, and it's a big, big splash on day one. And you mentioned it on your Twitter, the Ottawa Redblacks were always kind of a dark horse, but they do indeed land the services of quarterback Trevor Harris. Did that signing surprise you? And is this maybe a succession plan to Henry Burris?
It certainly is a succession plan, and it didn't surprise me as much as maybe it did some other people around the league. And as you said, I did mention this on my Twitter after the signing. I'd been talking to some people around the league before free agency, and a couple people sort of warned me, if you will, saying, you know, don't be surprised if Ottawa goes after Trevor Harris and signs a type of a deal where in the first year of it, he's paid more like a backup, and then after that, the deal bumps up to starter level money. Now, it was reported that he's going to make around $400,000 in the second year of that deal. And it's funny to see that because that's exactly what was mentioned to me going in. And I thought about it and I kind of thought, you know, well, that would be an awkward situation with Henry and how would that all play out? But clearly, Ottawa playing their cards close to their vest had talked to Henry about it and the whole situation. And they go out and get Harris and clearly made a good pitch. The big thing there is that Jamie Elizondo, their new offensive coordinator, was a receivers coach in Toronto. So a bit of familiarity there for Harris.
Justin Dunk of Sportsnet.ca, CFL.ca, and the Three Down Nation is our guest here on Sportsnet Saturday. I am Will Nault. He is Peter Klein.
So, Justin, what does that do for the Argos now? Because they have a longtime fixture on their offense go to one Ontario rival, and then their, supposed quarterback of the future going to another Ontario rival. It's been a bit of a rough offseason for them.
It has been. You know, they really focused on upgrading that offensive line and their Canadian talent. They obviously bring in Josh Bork. They go get Corey Wattman, who was a first-round pick just a few years back. So they really want to beef up that offensive line, make sure they protect Ricky Ray. Now, they have a lot of, I don't want to say trust, but they have a lot of faith in the potential of the backups that are here in Toronto. You know, Mitchell Gale was here, but then he went to Hamilton. That was a guy that they liked. Logan Kilgore was another guy. But maybe the most interesting thing to me, fellas, and I haven't said this in a public forum yet, is watch out for the Argos next year in free agency if Zach Collaros gets to that point. He's on the last
really?
Year of the deal in 2016. He's obviously coming off the ACL injury. And Toronto, if it gets to that point, would go after Zach Collaros very hard. They feel like if they can get, I don't want to say get through this season with Ricky Ray, but if they can protect Ricky Ray well enough, and then maybe bring in Collaros as their succession plan down the road. It's a definite possibility, fellas.
That would be another big man. Man, CFL free agency over the next couple of years has been a lot of fun. What the Bombers were to day one, the Saskatchewan Roughriders were to day two. As someone who is from the great province of Saskatchewan.
I feel sorry for you.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason I moved. I would be remiss if I didn't ask about the team in green and white. What have you thought of their moves this offseason, specifically with Capicotti going to Saskatchewan?
Yeah, well, a complete remake, fellas. And once they decided to re-sign Dylan Ainsworth, who was a second-round pick a couple years back out of Western, that sort of signaled to me that they were going to look at Canadian defensive end. Now, you didn't know if it would be Capicotti or maybe a guy like Arnaud Gascon-Aidon, who some people were liking and have seen some potential in. Obviously, they go out, get Capicotti, so they're obviously going to start a Canadian defensive end. They have Capicotti and Ainsworth in case he gets hurt. Now, the Riders have really just gone in and completely overhauled this roster. And everyone was so appalled when they released, you know, what was it? It was essentially the entire team that they went in and released, right, guys? But look at the excitement now in Ryderville after they brought in all these new players. And one of the key with a lot of these players is that they're younger guys. Look at the ages of the guys that were released or allowed to walk and the guys that they brought in. They're clearly getting younger. And the one thing Chris Jones favors is height and length. And a lot of these players that they're bringing in have those traits because that's what Chris Jones believes he needs on his defensive side of the football to win.
Well, and you tweeted out when the Riders signed Chambers. You said that he's a talented Canadian. And I said, well, that's good because the Riders need two things, talent and Canadians. And it seems like that's kind of where they've gone so far. One last question and just kind of a bigger picture one for you. I said before you got on that a lot of times in the past, and this is no slight to anyone else, but CFL offseason coverage wasn't the strongest. I remember when I was working at TSN, if anything happened in the offseason, we'd kind of stick it in what you need to know if we mentioned it at all. Why do you think with this free agency and this offseason that we've seen a larger scale of coverage for the Canadian Football League?
Well, part of it obviously has to be social media and with the way that's really sort of overtaken all of our lives, right? You can send out information instantly to fans and people that want to follow it. Now, another reason I think is just interest in the league, I feel like, has been growing. And, you know, credit to the three-letter network for doing that with the way they've produced the games. And I think that's had a big effect as well. And I think the interest level is just growing because this, you know, you guys watch it closely out there. It's a game that's interesting that can turn on a kick return on a big play, whether it be on defense or on offense, and turn very quickly. So I think the interest level is going up. Social media has a ton to do with it. And just the fact that we've got a lot of great people around the country that are covering this game at a pretty high level and making it competitive.
The CFL draft is coming up. What can we expect from you before that draft?
Oh, wow, guys. The Combine is on March 11th, that weekend in Toronto. Then there'll be the regionals from the 7th to 10th leading up that week. So I'll have a bunch of coverage for CFL.ca all the way through the Combine season. At Three Down Nation, we've got some cool stuff planned coming up. And then as we lean into draft season, you can check in for some mock drafts, and we'll have some cool features, I think, about how teams are preparing for the draft, who could be some sort of breakout stars that maybe haven't been ranked in the scouting bureau yet, have been hiding a couple guys away to do some cool features on. So that's just a little snippet of the stuff you can look for coming up.
Good, because you haven't really been doing a whole lot lately. I'm going to be honest. Like, it doesn't seem like you've been all that busy.
Justin, you're the man. Appreciate your time as always, buddy.
Of course, guys. Thanks for having me on. Good chat.